Our Bibles to 1 Peter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. And as we prepare to hear God's word, let's open with prayer. Lord God, we're thankful as we come before you this evening that you give us a living hope in Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we can read this word together, inspired by your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, I ask that you take this word, inspired by you, plant it deep in our hearts, and may it bloom and grow and bear good fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Peter, chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though imperishable is tested by fire, may be found to be a result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated, when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in regard to the things that now have been announced to you, through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we think about this text this evening, one of the things that spoke to me as a reminder as we read this text, we live in a world of trouble. Look around in this world. War in the Ukraine. We look closer to home. This past week, we think of the horrific loss of life in the shooting in the school in Uvalde, Texas. The church isn't spared trouble either. We're well aware that denominations have torn or are at risk of tearing over disagreements over important, substantive issues. And even too earlier this week, we can't ignore the reports of cover-ups, of terrible abuses that women and children experience by men who were given responsibility of leadership, but used that authority in evil ways. That's just this week. And we don't have to read the news to hear about trouble. Each one of you, and over the past couple years, as I've had the opportunity with our family to attend here and get to know you a little bit better, even now I'm aware sometimes of our own stories of trouble. I can think of broken relationships, incurable diseases, sudden tragedies. And we wonder sometimes to ourselves, how long? When will things change? As we think about this, we shake our heads and wonder, why do these things have to happen? And sometimes when it deals with matters of faith, we ask ourselves, God, why do you allow these things to happen? And we aren't the first ones to wonder. This has been a question even from the earliest parts, even in Scripture. We think of David writing, "How long, O Lord," in the Psalms. Over the centuries, theologians have considered what is called the problem of evil and sin in this world. And there is a term for this study often associated with the phrase or the term theodicy. A short definition is, how do we reconcile God's goodness and his providence in view of the obvious existence of evil? Now, while certainly we can't address a question fully that since sin entered the world, people have been wrestling with to solve that question, as we read Peter, we can read how we, as believers in Jesus Christ, can respond. You see, Peter was writing to a church that was scattered, facing hardship, experiencing evil. And if you pair the first letter of Peter with the second, you'll see quickly that trouble was coming to believers from the world outside, but there was also trouble from the church within. And then we realize that things aren't so much different today. We're not the first ones to worry about our place in the world. And the text we read today in part is a part of a letter the Apostle Peter wrote to a number of churches that is now in modern-day Turkey. These are churches first visited by mostly by the Apostle Paul, but were familiar, perhaps visited by Peter, or at least the churches were familiar to him as well. Churches in the regions of Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, as we read in the text. And this letter was written and addressed to God's elect, exiles who had been scattered. Depending on which commentary you read, perhaps these exiles were part of the early church that had been scattered, that had been originally based in the area of Palestine and had been scattered due to maybe early persecution of the Christian church. Others believe, and I think this is my preference, that this letter was to Christians, both of Jewish and of Gentile heritage, that found themselves to be living in a world that increasingly was reminding them that this place was not their forever home. As the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 11, verse 3, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Now, this was a letter that was expected to travel to a variety of churches, a letter of guidance and encouragement. This was a letter to Christians who had maybe never been to Palestine or Jerusalem. It was written to people, as acknowledged, who had never seen Jesus. But they believed. As we read in verse 8 of the text this evening, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. What else do we know about these people? As we read in the opening greeting, these were the elect, those who had been chosen according to what we read, the foreknowledge of God the Father. These were the people whom through the Father's choosing and the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work, had been chosen to be obedient to Jesus Christ. They had been sprinkled with his blood. And this sprinkling was a symbol of those who had been made holy by this atoning sacrifice of Jesus. So bottom line, who were these people to whom Peter was writing? Even though they are separated from us by time as well as distance, These are brothers and sisters in Christ. So as we read this letter, and we ourselves wrestle with a world that is filled with so much hurt, so much wrong, what comfort do we find in our own election? You see, it doesn't seem to separate us or spare us from trouble or pain. We still find ourselves struggling with sin, either of our own actions or because we're victims of the actions of the sins of others. When we talk about God's foreknowledge, we can give thanks that it doesn't mean that somehow he looked ahead to the future at the beginning of all time or before, outside of time, and looked to our futures and somehow determined whether or not we were worth saving. Instead, and sometimes difficult for mortal mind to understand, God before all time chose us out of his good and perfect will. Chose whom he would save, not based on anything we will have done. But he chose us just like he chose Abraham, a wandering shepherd in the country of Ur. Just as he chose Israel later to be his people. Just as Jesus chose his disciples, God has called us by name and transforms us through the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. What were we chosen to? We weren't chosen to be lifted out of tragedy or pain or disappointment in this life. We were chosen for an eternal destination that would not be defined by the evil and the effects of sin that we witness and we experience in this lifetime. When we know that we belong, we can be assured of the grace and peace that Peter prays for when he greets God's people. We are given the grace and the peace to be able to survive whatever this world has to offer, a peace of mind, knowing that we are secure in God's hands. What does Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, want us to hear? In verses 3 and 4 of the text, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." See, Peter was preaching to, writing to, a people who were concerned about the trouble in this world. It was trouble that was going on around them. Perhaps it was trouble happening to them. And he wanted them to be assured that since they were chosen by God, that they were firm and secure, securely held in the arms of God. John Calvin, in his commentary on this passage, gives us a good word. Just paraphrasing his comments on this passage, he tells us this: that the sorrows we experience in this world do not displace our hope and joy, but instead gives our hope and our joy its proper place. Let me read that one more time. The sorrows we experience in this world do not displace our hope and joy, but instead gives our hope and our joy its proper place. And that's simply said as a reminder that our hope is not in this world, in the comforts of wealth, in our perceived safety or the precautions that we've taken to be safe, in the power of weapons, in nations, in governments, You see, all these things will pass as they always have, just as then as now. All things come and go, ebb and flow over time. Once again, be reminded, our hope is not of this world. It is from God, eternal, and found only through the promises we find in Jesus Christ, sealed to us through his resurrection. It is the simple message of the gospel. When sometimes our life becomes cluttered with all of the worries that we feel itself, many grounded and many things to be of concern about, but remember at its foundation something that clears them all away. Gospel message is that we are saved by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection, through the forgiveness of our sins, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, through the simple fact that God calls us by name. There's some debate about what these early Christians were confronted with. Some have reason to believe that they were already facing perhaps severe persecution. Others believe that things were starting to become increasingly uncomfortable. Perhaps more restrictions. Maybe businesses and livelihoods were being affected. And they were becoming more and more criticized by the culture and society around them. Sometimes we wonder how much things that are happening today sound very similar to the times of the early Christians. Others wonder if they were just trying to find their place, trying to live as Christians in a pagan society that was increasingly hostile to them and what they believed. They were noticing that there was more and more incongruence between living a Christ-like life and what normal looked like for an unbelieving culture around them. In summary, what Peter was trying to share with the church is this simple message, an encouragement: don't be afraid. Live in faith. Don't let the problems of this world frighten or discourage you. You are firmly held. You have an eternal hope. You have an inheritance that is secure. Remember where your hope dwells. We have an inheritance and security found in Jesus that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for us. Faith shielded by the power of God until Christ comes again and gives us the full benefit of our salvation. Do we let all the static and the noise of this world fade and let the clarity of that message speak to our minds and to our hearts? We belong to Jesus. When thinking of this world around us and trying to be informed with what's going on, like many of you, I try to get my information by reading, by listening, newspapers, magazines, websites, whatever. And I try to read from a variety of perspectives, but then appropriately, as we all should, lay them beside God's word. Try to sort how God calls us to respond faithfully, obediently. One thing that I've especially noticed in these past few years is I've made a conscious effort to personally try to avoid the sources that regularly engage in name calling, try to sensationalize issues, appeal only to emotion, and get people worked up without sharing all the necessary information. And there are equal offenders on each side of the spectrum of how you might find yourself on different issues. And while it's important to be informed about what's going on in this world, all too often the message of these sources implicitly or explicitly is this: be afraid. Be upset. Get angry. And these messages are often framed in a way to feed our fears, encouraging us to decide on issues only as they apply to our personal experiences, our own comfort, our own safety. We're often tempted to shape Scripture to support our own point of view rather than let Scripture, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, form us and shape us instead. Peter reminds us again, and this message is consistent with the entirety of Scripture, there will be trouble in this life. There will be grief. But friends, we have a greater hope in this world. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. The message that Peter wants us to hear is this: let us not live in fear. Let us stop reacting to the world's events in a way that makes us believe that this life is all that there is. We have a greater hope, and that greater hope should change the way that we live today. You see, and I think we know this already, hard times will come. It isn't if they'll come, it's when. And Scripture says as much. Jesus says as much. But the comfort is this: if God has placed His mark on you, when those times have come, you are still going to be able to come through it praising God. It does not mean it will be easy, but He'll lead us through. Once again, Calvin is helpful here. When commenting on verse 7, he says this: the argument is from the less to the greater. He says, for if gold, a corruptible metal, is deemed of so much value that we prove it by fire, that it may become really valuable, what wonder is it that God should require a similar trial of our faith, since faith is deemed by Him to be so excellent? So in summary is this: if gold, a precious metal, is refined by fire, and impurities are taken from it, and therefore that gold itself becomes more valuable, in life we can expect that there will be trials to help refine our faith. That when we come through on the other side of it, it gives our faith a worth far more than gold, a value that can't be counted. Now, is that refining easy? No. May it be painful? Certainly. In Christ, we will come through what certainly might be difficult times, but our faith will remain. Our salvation will be secure. So don't be afraid. Peter wants us, along with all those who have been called by Jesus, to have joy, to have comfort, to rest secure. As we remember the words of Paul in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. As we look to the latter part of the text that we read this evening, before Jesus came, the prophets tried to look ahead in time by reading Scripture and trying to discern by the Spirit what God had in store. And for them, they realized that they would not see the Messiah in their lifetime, but that salvation would be fully revealed in that Messiah, whom we know as Jesus Christ. It is the message of salvation that Peter and Paul and all of the other apostles, evangelists, and missionaries would preach. It is the message that Jesus Christ has come, not to make us worry more, but to save us and to carry us into our salvation. It is a message so precious that even angels want to hear this good news. And make a note of this, Jesus didn't die for angels. Salvation was offered to those whom he called by name, those whom he set apart and called to be saved. It is a message of comfort as well as joy. So as you can see, this is a message so appropriate for us today. Right now, it's what we need to hear, what we need to be reminded about. And until Christ comes again, let us be assured, and it's not a message we want to hear, but be assured that bad news will still continue to come. Certainly, we might be shocked by the depravity of sin, but let's not be surprised when it comes. We've been told about this since the fall. Yet do not be afraid. You see, we have a message that's far greater, with far more hope, far more trustworthy than any other message we can hear. So hear this message and share it as well. Share it in word. Share it through the testimony of your life. In the way that you react in times and situations that might try our faith, we have the opportunity to come through that refined with a faith more valuable. And others need to hear that faith and experience the joy that we have, the assurance that can be theirs as well. Share this message as well without fear. But may we share it with the hopes of the same grace and peace that Peter writes about. The same grace and peace that we ourselves have been shown. We are firmly held by God, a loving God. And because of that, we do not have to be afraid. So let us live confidently. Let us live joyfully. And let us celebrate the salvation that we have in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we're thankful for your word to us, a reminder of the good promises that you give to us, a reminder, Lord, in Jesus Christ, we have our hope, not only for this life, but the life to come. Lord, work in us so that we are not afraid. Refine our faith, a faith more valuable than all this gold the world can offer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen.